Hey, what's up? This is Jeremy Popoff from the band Lit. You're listening to Fascination Street.
Yeah! AV in your ears. That's Ambush Fiend giving you this audio visual down the most interesting street in the world. With my boy Steve, Fascination Street. You already know. Let's get it. When you whip in the Fascination Street, what do you...
Welcome back, Streetwalkers. This episode is with the band Relation. That's R-E-A-L-A-T-I-O-N, and the L is capitalized. That's right, I got Vincent Lane, who does bass and vocals, Matt Laux on drums, and Steve Feliciano on guitar and vocals. I got the whole band. All three of them decided to sit and hang out and chat with a fella. In this episode, we talk about how all three of them got into music. They got into music in very different ways, and so I think you'll appreciate some of the different ways that they got into it. We also talk about why they chose grunge alternative metal as their platform, and they have a mission. We find out what the mission of Relation is and why their lyrics deal with the subject matter that they deal with. We have a lot of fun along the way. They let me play one of their hits. It's called FYI, and I think you're going to dig it. Check them out everywhere. They got a bunch of stuff coming out soon. Look for their new EP to drop around mid-April. And this is my conversation with Vincent Lane, Matt Laux, and Steve Feliciano from the band Relation.
For better be fascinated. For better be fascinated. For better be fascinated.
Welcome to Fascination Street Podcast, Vincent Lane and Matt Laux. How you doing today, guys?
Good. How are you, man?
I am fan-freaking-tastic. Did I say both of your names right? Is it Laux?
It's Laux, actually.
Laux.
If you're right. the closest than most people get. So.
Well, I'm a douche. I'm sorry. Thank you for clarifying that. And did I say it right? Is it pronounced Vincent?
Yes.
All right, rad. So, guys, what I like to do... Well, first of all, listeners... This is Vincent Lane and Matt Laux from the band Relation. Did I say it right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Relation. Yep, that's us. Yes, sir.
Relation. Okay, guys. So it's spelled R-E-A capital L-A-T-I-O-N. We're going to get to why that is in just a bit. But first, what I like to do is I like to get to know the guests from kind of the beginning. It helps us understand how you guys got to where you are. So, Vincent, where were you born and raised, man? Where'd you grow up?
I'm from upstate New York, and I got into music really early. I had a neighbor who was a music editor for a local paper, and he kind of took me in when I was a kid and kind of taught me the ropes on things, so I really got a really good grasp of music on the inside very early.
What kind of music was he into, or what instrument did he play?
He played guitar and piano, and he let me mess around with those as a young kid, which was great. He was into a lot of classic rock at that point, so I got, you know, all the Stalwarts, Zepp, and the Stones, and the Beatles. He was really into them, and he used to let me take his CDs and even his vinyl back to my house. I had a little record player, and he let me take his giant records back on my little record player and let me play them. I don't know if I would have done it at his age with a little kid, but he did, and it was really, really cool.
I won't do that now with a full-grown adult. Like a 50-year-old person could ask to borrow my vinyl, and I'd tell them to get the fuck out of my house.
Absolutely, yeah, which is amazing. So I knew it was kind of all in the stars at that point. It was very impacting, and he actually brought me around to meet some people in the industry. It was really cool.
Very impactful. Matt, where were you born and raised, man? Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up in upstate New York as well. You know, grew up in the city for the first, like, 12 years of my life, and then lived in the country, you know, deep in the country for... about another 8 years. I started, you know, playing music in about the fourth grade, started playing drums. My mom really introduced me to a lot of cool music growing up, like punk music, you know, Green Day, The Clash, Rancid, stuff like that. And she would bring me to these concerts and stuff. We'd, you know, even at a young age, I'd be, you know, going to these shows, clubs, arenas. And my childhood was really full of music, pretty much. So
your mom sounds pretty punk.
Yeah, she was awesome, man. Yeah,
mom's hardcore.
Yeah. She still goes to concerts with me today on occasion.
Oh, that's really sweet. Vincent, what was your first concert?
I was 8 years old and I saw Pink Floyd at Yankee Stadium, which was quite the experience for a little kid. Luckily, it was outdoors, so all of the smoking and odd behavior, shall I say, was, you know, a little less invasive for a kid. But yeah, it was the reason why at this point we do the big show we do is because it was a lot to look at for a kid. And it was really the coolest thing ever because you saw the whole gamut of their production from obviously the 20 musicians on stage, but then, you know, the incredible lighting and then the video, and then they popped the pig around. it was really cool.
I think it's pretty funny that there's, you know, 45 people on stage and none of them are named Pink or Floyd.
Right. Yeah.
Matt, what's your first concert?
For me, it was Green Day.
How old were you?
Oh, geez. 7 and 8? About that. I went to Michael Bolton concert before that, but I don't count that.
Do your parents know each other? It sounds like you guys were going to concerts at a pretty young age.
No, actually.
No, yeah, it was bizarre.
They did grow up around each other, though. They even went to the same schools.
Yeah, so they were in that generation that, you know, music was so impacting for, you know. So that was not surprising at all.
Sure. So how did you guys meet?
Through a mutual musician that we knew. This project actually has gotten a facelift. It was an older project that I worked with, and one of the original members said, hey, I got this drummer. He's a really cool guy, and he plays fucking great. Would you like to meet him? And we met. This was probably about 8 years ago at this point. And we were doing, you know, some covers at that point and kind of dabbling in writing. And then eventually he left and we had Steve come aboard. And then the writing really kind of escalated at that point. We still do some cover stuff every once in a while now. Yeah, but
the music changed.
The music changed and it got to be where we are now, which is perfect for the wheelhouse of how I write lyrics, and we can convey the message pretty well musically. So very cool.
So Vincent, do you do most of the writing?
I do. Yeah.
The lyrics, I mean?
Lyrically. Yeah. I always think about a concept for the material we have. A lot of it's based on psychological concepts, interpersonal relationships. So that's probably where the relation name came from. Steve's popping in right now. Just, I know
you. I apologize.
No, it's perfect. Yeah, interpersonal issues and childhood traumas, psychological facets and interpersonal relationships. That's pretty much what we really write about and how you affect the relationships you have and then how you can grow as a person intrinsically and then how that affects your relationships outward.
Got you. Streetwalkers, welcome to the show. Steve Feliciano, he plays guitar and he also sings. Am I correct in all of that?
Yes, sir. How's it doing? How's it going?
It's going great, Steve. It's nice to meet you. I am also Steve. I'm sure you get this every day, all day long. Any relation?
You go to Jose. You
think? Oh, man, I get that so much. Nah, not at all. Not at all.
Oh, cool.
But the family listens to him avidly, especially on Christmas.
Well, who doesn't, right? I'm down here in San Antonio, and it's on rotation. I'm that dude's everywhere down here. Steve, where were you born and raised, man? Where'd you grow up?
I was born in Jersey, Hoboken.
Hey, like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, home of Frank Sinatra. Lived there for a little bit as a kid. Was doing really bad in school. I had a big like ADD thing before ADD was cool. And then I pretty much after that, I lived in Puerto Rico for pretty much all my life.
How did that happen?
Well, the thing is, in school, I was doing really bad as a kid. I was really distracted. So my parents thought the best course of action was to have me live with my grandfather. And my grandfather was a real strict guy, really strict guy. So I think I had to be maybe 8 years old, started like around fourth grade. And ever since then, I've lived in Puerto Rico, went to school there, worked there, went to college there, and the rest is history from there.
So is it fair to say that that was basically your parents' version of sending you away to military school?
Man, listen, it could have been way worse. Could have been way worse. I wasn't a bad kid or anything like that. I was just bad in school. I was getting into trouble a lot. All kinds of stuff.
Do you think it saved you from getting into more trouble? Was it beneficial, I guess, is my question.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Living with my grandfather, there was like, he's a really humble guy. So we have like, it was like humble beginnings, a small home, a lot of terrain, a lot of trees. It was kind of like in the woods. And it was like more of a minimalistic lifestyle where by this time and this time we do this, by this time and this time we do this, you help me clean up and stuff like that. And then at this time we go to bed. It was like, I learned a lot of discipline from that man.
Very regimented. So that sounds like the complete opposite of Hoboken.
Yeah, complete opposite.
When did you get into music?
It's funny. I think I was 12 years old when I first picked up the guitar, but I was already infatuated with music, just not like music on the radio. I was a really big video gamer kid. Like, I used to play a lot of video games. So a lot of the music that I started listening to growing up was video game music. Playing games on the PlayStation, a lot of these role-playing RPG games like Final Fantasy, that stuff. I always had an allure for that stuff. It wasn't until like I was 12 years old, because I was surrounded by a musical family. My mother plays guitar. My uncle plays guitar. So does my grandfather, who I grew up with, also played guitar. I learned a couple things from him. But as a kid, you know, it's acoustic guitar. It doesn't really look fun or cool growing up as a kid. So I never really picked it up until I got home from school. And in my bed was this electric guitar that literally looked like it could kill people. Like, it was a BC Rich Bronze Warlock. It was the pointy guitar with the pointy headstock. That thing looked like a machine gun when I looked at it when I was a kid. It was in my room, and there was like a little box amp, one of those cheap old Squire box amps, those little five waters. I had plugged it in, and I couldn't even hold the guitar right as a kid. So I was like strumming it. And then I was like, well, this doesn't sound really good. Like, it just sounds kind of all over the place. And then I remember seeing a button in the amp that said gain boost. And that's when I found out what distortion was. And it sounded crazy. It was probably not musical at all, but I felt like a rock star because I was making noise.
Is there a guitar fairy in Puerto Rico? Like, where did this come from? And what? Why?
I found out later that my mom got it for me. It's a funny story because I always ask her, like, hey, when did you get that and how did you get it? She's like, well, I bought it off of some crackhead or something. I don't remember. It was like, I bought it off of just somebody that was selling it for like $50.
I think the funnier part of that story is that you found out later where it came from. I mean, I would have been like, excuse me, did somebody leave something? Is this mine? Like, what? Where did this come from?
You make a good point, because at first I was confused because I'm like, should I be touching this thing? I mean, maybe they just put it there because I had no other place to put it. But I just picked it up. It was in my room. So I was like, okay, you know, and at first when I picked it up, it felt like a toy. And then I started kind of like learning certain things. And then my mom taught me my first few chords. And then it just went from there.
So your mom was also in Puerto Rico?
Yes, correct.
Gotcha. So she went with you. You didn't go live with your grandfather by yourself.
At first I did. And then my parents were still living in Jersey. The story with that is, like, my parents were seeking out an entrepreneurial lifestyle. So they were kind of trying to make their own business. It ended up flopping. So they resorted going back to Puerto Rico. And that's when I ended up moving back with them. And we all had a house after that.
Got you. And when did you meet Matt and Vincent?
Like 12 years. As a band, collectively, we've been together 7 years, but I've known Matt since 2012, right?
Yeah, 2011.
Yeah.
Whew. Oh, wow. Steve, what was your first concert?
I think it was Iron Maiden. They went to Puerto Rico. Was it the Somewhere Back in Time tour? Something like that. I remember it vividly because it was Steve Harris's birthday that day.
How old were you?
Maybe 17.
Oh, okay. Wow. See, yeah. I told you guys, Vincent, Matt, you guys, your parents must have hung out and y'all just don't know it.
Yeah, most definitely.
Steve, you didn't hear, and you probably don't know Vincent and Matt at all, but their first concert was when they were like 8 years old.
Yeah, crazy, right?
That is crazy. So earlier, Vincent, you said that being at the Pink Floyd concert is kind of one of the reasons that you guys do a big show. What does that mean? A big show? What's a big show?
Well, for us, I think we've discussed this before. Sometimes you'll go and see an artist and you'll know the music inside and out. And there's a lot of layering to it. There's a lot of other ancillary tracks that kind of make the song. And you go to see a show and it'll just seem stripped down and it's just a little disappointing. So when you come to see us, what we first decided when we were taking this step is that we want to project the music as you hear it. So if you listen to us, you're going to get a very similar experience when you see us live with the lighting and the video as other components. So to be a full show. So it's a full experience auditorily and then as well as visually for you. So it's a big deal for us to kind of project the music that way. We feel it's more authentic and it for the listener and for the audience, just a better experience.
I agree. My dad was in bands basically my whole life, and he always stressed that whatever band he was in, he wanted the music at the show to sound as close as possible to the music on the album.
True.
He figured that that's what the people were coming to see because that's what the people know. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's the music and the sound that they know. And that's why they're coming to see the band. And so they didn't, he didn't think that it should be, like you said, stripped down or even down to the guitar solos. He wanted them to be exactly the same or as close as possible. So I get it. I dig it.
Hey, Streetwalkers, here's a word from our sponsors. Let's get back into it.
Why grunge alternative metal?
We were looking for a descriptive way to kind of encapsulate what we were doing. And we feel like maybe lyrically we're a little maybe more grungy, but we definitely have the alternative metal side to us. So putting those together with the concept base, so like I say, the songs themselves will always have a story behind them, always have a message, you know, what you're trying to get through. So concept-based grunge alternative metal, I know it's a big kind of, it's a mouthful, but it's about as descriptive as we could get as to what we were, you know, sales pitching our, yeah, elevator pitching our music. That's what it is. So
if you really slice it up, there's elements that fit kind of in that description, because we have songs that are kind of a little more on the technical side, a little bit more on the proggy side, where like everything sounds kind of polyrhythmic. And then we have more loose songs where it's just more strummy, like just more loose and kind of like straightforward. And I feel like that's where the grungy part comes in, mm-hmm, when some of our most simplest songs have that vibe. Like FYI, I feel like, is a good example of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm, pretty simple. And it just gets to the point, as a lot of songs in the 90s did. So we kind of just pull from a lot of different wells. And we felt that was the most descriptive way to let people know what we were doing and what we were up to.
Now, you said earlier that a lot of your lyrics deal with, I think you said all of your lyrics deal with, you know, heavily relationship-based trauma and or issues, real-world problems, if you will. Mm-hmm. Why the passion to go down that road? Why that direction specifically?
Well, I think for me, it's just more of a self-exploration kind of healing component, because I think in terms of when you're younger and you don't understand what's going on and what happens to you, I think you look for a way to kind of, you know, reconcile the situation. So for me, when I didn't understand something, I wrote about it. And it was just a way to kind of get out what I was feeling without someone minimizing me or someone, you know, telling me that, gaslighting me or telling me that I was mistaken. So at least I had a way to, you know, get out how I was feeling without there being some sort of backlash. And I feel like the songs are just kind of taken from that. I've written for most of my life in some capacity. And I feel like that, to me, is the best way to be authentic and get my say out there without being squashed or minimized.
Matt, Steve, do you guys contribute to the lyric writing?
Not so much. Usually the way we kind of work is actually really interesting, because sometimes Vince will bring Vince has a binder with tons of pages. He'll just pull it out like it just came like out of an encyclopedia. And I'm like, oh, I have these lyrics I wrote fucking 5 years ago. And then we'll sit with it. And then I'll read it out, because me and Vince do a lot of back and forth with the vocals. He'll do some singy parts. I'll do mine as well. But a lot of my parts are parts that he's written. So we always try to figure out how we can line the words up to fit the cadences. But as far as like contribution with the lyrical content itself, me, not so much.
Matt?
No, actually with me, I don't really have anything to do with lyric writing. When it comes to like writing the song and like going over parts and everything, you know, we all do that together. But lyrically, yeah, I don't have anything to do with it.
Vincent, with your lyrical content, do you think that there is an issue with regard to relatability in terms of music or in terms of audience engaging in music?
You know what? The interesting thing, Steve, is that we found just the opposite, because most of the time we will write something, we'll put it out there, and invariably we'll get back commentary saying, this is really relatable to me. I went through this. We had a song that we wrote, the first single, called Isabella. Mm-hmm. And it's about several issues with this particular woman. And we've had several people come back and say, I know an Isabella, I dated one, I am one, you know. So relatability, I think that's one of the things, or one of our strengths, is that, mm-hmm, we kind of write in terms of a lot of real life, interactive, interpersonal issues, you know, and then trying to overcome them and, mm-hmm, trying to reconcile what's happened and,
You know, the message isn't always doom and gloom. We generally try to, I try to wrap it up with a message at the end, like a bow to try to, this is the way out potentially, or this is the way that potentially could work for me. And maybe it's maybe it'll work for you, or in my experience, this is what I've learned.
It's also worth mentioning Isabelle is a fictional character for anybody wondering in the future. We've had comments of people asking, like, who is Isabelle?
Oh, that's the question.
Yeah, and what does she do to you? Why are you talking about her and all this sort of thing? And I'm like, it's a story, my friend. It's a story.
It's based on several women that I know and don't know and just have heard about, you know, so it's not anybody in particular. With your platform, you just go out there and trash your ex? No. That's not what this is about. Yeah. You know, this is about, you know, a story that a lot of us have gone through. So
when I asked that question, I meant with music in general, as far as relatability, I loved the answer that you gave, but I should have been more specific. Do you think that there is a relatability issue with music in general, not your music, music in general? Like, is that why you decided to go down these roads so that you can have more of a connection with your audience?
I think so. Because again, for me personally, I won't even dig a song if it doesn't have some sort of messaging to it. So it's very weird. You know, there's songs out there for particular behaviors and moods, you know, the celebratory songs. But I think with this particular avenue that we're going down, it's not been explored very much. And it seems to me, the state of the world now, there's a lot of people searching for truth and answers and looking a little more introspectively. So I don't think it's really been explored enough. And people are looking for relatability with this. And maybe it just hasn't been out there enough. So we kind of thought, I write like this anyway. So maybe this is a good way and a good avenue to explore.
You got to go with what you know, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, no question.
So when people ask you, hey, who's Isabelle and show me on this doll where she touched you, when they say, hey, is this an ex-girlfriend or, you know, why are you talking shit about your ex? Just let them know, hey, this is not my ex. This is your ex.
Yeah.
I wrote this song about your ex-girlfriend.
Well, you know, it is interesting because then there's people that that think the songs are about them. And that's even more narcissistic that I can't even fathom. It's like, no, this is not about you. Or maybe it is, you know, so you always leave that out there, you know, if it were.
Well, hey, I mean, the shoe fits. Right?
If you relate to it, that's cool. Then I know we're being helpful. If it triggers you, then shit, good. That's what it's about.
Yeah. If it triggers you, then that was the goal.
Right. That good art triggers you. That's what it's about. We've always made a joke, too, interestingly enough, about the back and forth vocals. Like, we're like the grunge alternative Air Supply with the back and forth vocals. We've always kind of made a joke about that, too.
Matt, do you have a microphone behind the kit or is it just Vince and Steve singing?
Just Vince and Steve. I'm not much for my vocal skills.
He's lying. He's actually good. He's actually goated. Just people haven't heard him yet.
That's true. Yes.
We're going to get there. Three-part harmonies coming soon.
Oh, nice. Start off with everybody except Matt leaving the stage, and you just sing Beth by yourself. Okay, so I guess in 2023, releasing full albums is kind of not really done anymore. Everybody releases singles, and then they build up to an EP. Is that about right?
Oh, yeah.
Just about, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many singles have you guys released so far?
We released three, right? Because we released...
Isabelle was a single.
Not Meant For Me was a single. FYI was a single. And then Chase the Ghost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So four thus far. Then we kind of just put them on a compilation.
Yeah,
you're right, though. We kind of just bleed them out. This one we've held back, though. We have an album coming out probably mid-April called Reveal that has new material on it. And we've held back. The only song we've released was Chase the Ghost. And we're going to hold the other four until we actually do an album release and we'll see how that goes.
And that's in mid-April?
Yes.
And where can people go to follow and get notified when that comes out?
Oh, it'll be all over our Facebook page. You can just search Relation Music, IG, same thing, Relation Music. Spotify, you can follow us there. YouTube, you can just search out Relation Official YouTube.
Hit that bell.
Yeah, hit the bell, yeah. And you can see the video for FYI. Steve and Matt are definitely indulge me when it comes to all the concept-based parts of the videos we do, because I always like to have a little narrative around it.
Super rad. Are you guys going to release any other songs off that album between now and mid-April?
I guess it's like a feel thing. I guess it depends because it's like on a case by case thing where we think, okay, is this good as a single? Can this go like on an EP or should we go full length? You know what I mean? We're still kind of speculating on that. It seems that the right moves are with the singles because they can marinate a little longer. And then once you've built multiple singles or anything like that, you can just compile them anyway and have them all relatable on Spotify under one project later on, which is a good marketing thing that I learned from a good friend of mine who says, like, just drop your singles at the end. Once you've exhausted the amount of marketing that you could do for each single, just put them all together. They've had their run and just put them out as an album.
Love it. Here's why I'm asking. I want to play one of your songs on this show, but before I ask you for permission, I need you to think about which one it would be. Well, first, can I play one of your songs on this show?
No question.
Of course.
Yes.
And do you guys want to rock, paper, scissors and decide which one?
All right. So what do we give them? What do we play? Man. Let's just do FYI. We just dropped the video.
Yeah. I think FYI.
That makes sense. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, rad. So do you guys want to introduce this song like your radio DJs? It's my favorite thing to do.
Steve, sure. I think that's right up your alley, my man.
My alley? Oh, God. How do I announce this thing?
You ever heard of radio?
God.
Well, you can say something like, hello, this is Vincent Lane from the band Relation.
And you're listening to FYI.
Yep, there you go.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. What does the future hold for Relation? Are you guys have a tour coming up? Are you guys going to stay in the studio and keep dropping singles? What's going on in 2023?
Those. And then we're focused a lot on sync licensing too. We've had some opportunities to use some of our tracks and forge some really good relationships. In the vein of sync licensing, for those who don't know, it's when songs are placed in shows and commercials and movies. And for us, it's a great way to supplement what we already do, you know, dropping singles and EP and playing shows. This is another avenue for us to get our material out there. And it gives us an opportunity to write other sorts of material that we're a little empowered by. Like Steve and I just put together a little 80s track.
Yeah, like an 80s style synth wave kind of track. Yeah.
So it allows you to kind of dabble in other areas of your creativity. So we're enamored with that. But yeah, I mean, we love playing shows. So we're definitely going to get out there and do that as well this summer for sure. So
as of right now, we're kind of in creative mode. We've just been kind of locked in, writing, tracking, kind of doing like pre-production on future songs and stuff like that. So by April, having most of these songs released, like, yeah, right now we're just in creative mode. And what we have any tour opportunities after that, then it's go.
Yeah.
It's kind of go.
It's nice to be able to do these things again. It's been a couple of years where it's been a little sketchy.
What? Why?
Oh, yeah. We won't even have to mention, but it's just exciting to be back here where we have, you know, an opportunity to get out in front of people. Beautiful weather. Where we are right now, Steve, it's 8 degrees outside.
Did you say eight?
Yeah. As in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Since it's one right now.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, there we go.
Well, you had the wind
dropped in the last 45 minutes.
It'll be negative 9 tonight.
So this is why we get the hell out of here.
You ever seen The Day After Tomorrow? That one scene where the guy gets off, what is it, the plane or something, and he like instantly freezes and dies right there? That's exactly what it feels like.
That's gonna happen to us when we go out to our car.
Because it's like 8 degrees. It's got to be like 20 mile per hour, 30, 40 mile per hour wind. So it's like, it feels like you're getting stabbed in the face.
Right. Your car doesn't want to drive. It's all shitty. I don't know why we chose to live here or stay here, but this is home base right now. So where you are in San Antonio, I'm sure it's much warmer there.
Well, everything is much warmer than one. But for the last 4 days, it's been like 26 degrees and raining. And so everything is frozen and there's ice everywhere. It's a goddamn disaster. But today, it's like right now, I think it's 33 or something. It's supposed to get up to 37. So we're all excited.
Yeah.
So that begs the question, where the hell are you guys?
We're in upstate right now, hunkered down here in our studio.
Upstate New York?
Albany.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Albany area, yes.
Oh, that is the capital.
Yes, right outside the capital.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I figure most people know Albany and New York City and Buffalo.
We're not in the Bronx.
Yeah, this is where we do all our creating here. Steve has a home studio. You know, we have a very succinct system we have. We create pretty, well, I don't know what you say, you know.
It's great because we could just make music at our leisure. We could just, there's no time strain or anything like that. We set deadlines for ourselves, but if sometimes if we don't meet them, it's okay because we're just home. Pretty much we're all home and we create when we want to for as long as we want to. We're not pressed for anything. It's great just doing it at home.
It's got to be a hell of a weather shock for you, Steve, to live in Puerto Rico your whole life and then come back to Albany.
Man, you know something? when you live in paradise, and I say paradise and I say that wholeheartedly because when you're a kid, you take that for granted. There was beaches within a 3 mile radius from where I used to live. Beautiful beaches, beautiful scenery. And it's not till you're here and weather like today that you think about like, damn. Be nice to be home just for a little bit, maybe for like a week.
All right. Well, as we're heading out here, guys, tell everybody where they can find you. You told them where you can find your music. Where can we find and follow the band on various social media platforms? Make Matt do it since he hasn't said anything in a long time.
Everything's Relation Music. Instagram. It's Relation Music Official or Official.
Official, yeah, on YouTube. Relation.
I know YouTube's the only weird one.
Yes, it's you can just search out Relation. You'll find it.
And how do you spell that?
R-E-A-L-A-T-I-O-N.
Got you. And that's because your music deals with shit that gets real.
Correct.
Oh, man. Vincent, Lane, Matt, Laux, Steve Feliciano, no relation. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day and your hectic freezing your balls off schedule to hang out and let us get to know you a little bit better on Fascination Street, guys. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Steve. Thank you.
You guys try to stay warm, man. I don't know what it's going to take, but get all the blankets. Just get all the blankets and start a fire.
I got the heat cranked, man. We're good right now until we walk out.
Yeah, there you go. So that's one of the things that sucks down here is that we don't get crazy cold snaps all that often. So when we do, when it's cold for 3 or 4 days like it has been, then everybody's heater breaks.
Oh, geez.
26 for you guys down there has got to be holy shit. You don't see that often, right?
Nah, we don't see that at all. And so we're not prepared for it as far as infrastructure. And so I think half of San Antonio still doesn't have any power and half of Austin doesn't have any power either.
Jesus, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's a big fun time.
Oh, man.
But thank goodness we have power. I wouldn't have been able to do this. So Vincent, Matt, Steve from the band Relation, thank you so much. And y'all have a great rest of your week, man. Take it easy.
Thank you as well, my friend. You have a good one.
Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Y'all stay warm.
All bye right. Bye. Thank you.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
Opening music is the song FSP Theme, written, performed, and provided by Ambush Vin.
Closing music is from the song Say My Name off the 2021 album Underdog Anthems, used with permission from Jax Hollow. If you like the show, tell a friend, subscribe, and rate and review the show on iTunes and wherever else you download podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel. All the episodes are available there as well. Check me out on Vero at Fascination Street Pod and TikTok at Fascination Street Pod. And again, thanks for listening.